Right, I've mentioned it a number of times that the capability comes after the control charts show that your process is stable. Well, there's obviously a connection between process capability and control charts, one from the process of checking your system and the sequence of that these events, these tools are used, these calculations are made. But there's also a couple other relationships between these things, and let's explore that just briefly. In some cases, that we've got an ongoing control chart, and so our vendor is doing a control chart or we're doing a control chart, and we want to estimate the process capability using that data right off the control chart. Well, that's very, very possible, especially if I don't have access to the individual data at this point. So ideally, if I take 25, 30 sets of samples, and there are five readings per sample, five units per sample, that's over 100 points of data. And if I have access to the individual data points, we could use that directly to calculate mean and standard deviation of our underlying process, and then compare that to our specifications, calculate the capability directly. But we may not have that data, or we may only have access to the results of a control chart study and ongoing control charting. So what do we do in those cases? Well, keep in mind that we need to estimate a standard deviation in order to construct the control limits on a control chart. Now, the X bar and R chart is that we're given the average, the X bar, the mean value or our statistic for our population and of our samples, and we're given the average range of those numbers. Now, this is for an X bar and R chart. Now, if we're given an X bar and standard deviation chart, we've got mean and standard deviation directly. But here we've got R. R is a surrogate for standard deviation. As I mentioned previously, it's used because it was convenient and easy to do before we had calculators and spreadsheets and such, because it was difficult to calculate standard deviation. Now, during the test, you don't really want to sit down and calculate standard deviation manually. Your calculator more than likely is going to be able to calculate that with just a push of a button once you enter in the data. So, if we're looking at an X bar and R chart, and let's say we're taking, say, five samples per draw, per group or point that we're going to plot, our N is going to be five. And we can use the factor D2 directly to calculate the estimate of the standard deviation given that common or the average range value from our chart. And it's one of the many factors that are available that we would typically use in one form or another when working with the control charts, and it's this set of statisticians determined how to interpret, say, range values into the standard deviation values. And it's really based on, well, how many samples do I have? So these different parameters are on different references, the ASQC or the Indiana Council's, the Quality Council of Indiana's primer. It's on page 3-78 for the version I have. I'll look for where I can get a table that we can just add to the notes here so you'll have them all in one place. But the basic idea is that a control chart uses this notion of a standard deviation. That's what these factors are about. And so I can take the R bar and divide by D2 is one of the factors based on how many samples are in, or how many units are in each sample we draw, and I have standard deviation. Now, another way to do it is if I know what the A2 factor is, and that's A2 times the R bar is used for the X bar chart to find the upper and lower standard or control limits. And we know that the distance between the mean and that control limit is 3 standard errors. Remember, it's standard errors based on the standard deviation of those sample averages. And so I've got just that distance equals 3 standard errors. So I can calculate a standard error, divide it by, or multiply it times the square root of n, And I can come up with the standard deviation again. And so it's D2 factor or the A2 factor and the basic X bar in our chart, and we can calculate these standard deviation values. Now we need the standard deviation so we can get after what the CP, CPK, and those kinds of values are. So we can use the standard normal table, and we're making an assumption that our data is normally distributed at this point. And we can take our spec limits, subtract out the X double bar from our control limit or our X bar chart, and divide it by this freshly calculated standard deviation value. Well, that should look a whole lot like a Z value, right? We're calculating the upper and lower Z value. Typically get the one that's the larger, and or both if you're interested on both sides. And you can calculate what's the probability of units being outside your control limit, or outside your specifications. I should say that correctly. And you can do it one-sided or two-sided as the problem requires. So you can take data from control charts, and with a little bit of work and of understanding the formulas that go into constructing those control charts, and some use of the normal tables, you can do some pretty interesting calculations. Now, here's a kind of a rhetorical question, more to bring this home for you, is in your work, if you work with a design team or with vendors doing design work for you, do they have the SPC data? Do they have the capability information? And if so, do they use it? Next, we'll take a look at a simplified way of doing control charts. It works in some cases very well. It was designed as a competitive type approach to the Schuhart charts by a group of statisticians in the 50s, but it also may be intuitive and a lot easier to use in your particular circumstance.